Hi, Cody.
Where'd you get that?
Your donut? That is from downstairs. You want to record?
Yeah.
All right. Audio. Perfect. 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 Thank you.
I guess you're expecting. Are you doing table discussion today at all?
There'll be some, yes.
All right. Well, they'll miss out on that. But.
Well, that's okay. They'll get most of it.
I
had a chuckle on that one.
I don't know why you're saying that's funny.
It's an eye opener. You want to go back through again? Yeah.
Let me make sure.
I have so many clothes to choose from.
No idea where.
I like number 10.
That's what we were just talking about. Uh-huh. Yeah, it makes you want to go back and reassess.
Yeah, let me check.
Yeah. Read that a little closer.
Yeah. Right.
But guys, we're going to need to act a little bit. You guys need to make some space for just because I'm hitting you there, and then the rest of the
room. I'm not afraid to sit over there with you. Everybody else is. I don't know. You know that.
He was talking about how he felt like he was, you know, the lump on the log. You know, he wasn't quite sure what was going on. Yeah.
He said, "Felt like it was." He said, "He just needs that."
Right.
Sharpening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Get the last one. Sorry. You're going to be up here? Good. Well, you need to sign in. Sign in to be a Tiger in basketball.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What position did you play?
He can play under the basket if he wants to. He can play anywhere. I was a forward.
Forward?
Yeah, in high school I was taller. not much taller, but 5'11".
It takes up some space.
Yeah, the legs and body still think that
you want to have the layup.
The mind does, but the body doesn't.
So you were a power forward.
Yeah, the thing that I used to always hear from the coaches was whenever I shoot, you have perfect form. The ball just doesn't go in.
We're not sure what happened. The form was great.
Yeah, everything looks great. I hear the same thing from Ben Arthur. You look great on paper.
I spent a lot of years ago.
Yeah,
me too.
And that was a lot of years after high school when we were.
Yeah,
It's nice to have you back here.
This is an exclusive table.
Yeah.
Big seats to fill.
I heard conversation right when I was getting coffee this morning. I came in at the tail end of it. I think they were talking about a specific situation. They said something about, yeah, when you're in that, you should just turn and run. And I wanted to say, and they were not quite as old as I was, but they were older. I wanted to say, I wouldn't run because you'll probably fall. So maybe just walk quickly.
Okay, everybody, we are going to get started. Let's start with a word of prayer, then I'll kind of explain things a little bit, let you ask some questions. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to just become familiar with a tool that we can use doing discipleship. I pray, Father, that you would move in the hearts of each of the people who are here, that you would use them in an amazing way in your kingdom to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so they tell me that we have to sign in so that they have attendance records for us. Now, supposedly, this first one will get entered into Realm. And if you have, you know, that on your smartphone, we would like a person who'd be willing to check people in on Realm. That makes it simpler and gets rid of the piece of paper. So you think about that and you let me know if you're willing to do that. Okay? You got it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Now, somebody give me your definition of discipleship. Don't everybody jump up at once. Go ahead.
Taking new believers and involving them in ministry.
Okay. Dave.
I like what Paul says in Colossians 1:28. My paraphrase would be, he works hard to present others mature in Christ.
Okay. Anybody else got a definition?
Yeah. Teaching others through relational living.
Excellent. Okay. Somebody read 2 Timothy 2:2.
And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Now that kind of gives us a little bit of a direction and a kind of an outline or parameters to what we're trying to accomplish. One, you're looking for people who that you can pass on really the knowledge of who Christ is and the salvation that that knowledge brings. But more than that, you want to find faithful people who will then in turn do the same thing. They will pass that on. It won't stop with you or them. It keeps going. So we like to talk about that as saying we want to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Why do we do that? Well, Christ gave us an example on what that looks like. When he chose his followers, how many did he choose?
12.
Now, were those all the same kind of people? One was actually a rat. Judas. But Were those guys considered Christians when he got a relationship with them?
No.
Of course not. So his desire was to have a relationship with somebody who didn't know Jesus. That's really the first thing to notice. Second thing is he developed a relationship with them. He spent time with them. We often wonder how, you know, it says that Andrew and Peter were, you know, fixing their nets and Jesus came along and said, hey, follow me. They threw down their nets and they followed him. He already had a relationship with them for probably close to 12 months at that point when he asked him to do that. So there was a lot of relationship building that went in before he made the call to come follow me. So what I've learned from that is that when you intentionally get to know somebody who doesn't know Jesus and you befriend them, the topic of Christianity or being saved is going to come up. You know why? Because you and that other person are quite different. You're quite different because you have Jesus in you and they don't. So that's going to become evident the more they get to know you. So that's just, it's going to happen. And they'll ask you at some point, why are you like the way you are? Or they may say something like I did. Whatever you've got, I want it. You know? It was a longing in my heart to be like what they were being like. But I couldn't pull it off. So then, once they become a Christian, that's when we start doing what we're going to learn here. You have, well, some of you. Okay, just so you know, I ordered 10 books. We've got a couple more than that here. Anyway, we'll get more. This is the first book of the Design for Discipleship series by the Navigators. This is an inductive study of 7 books that takes you from zero, you know nothing about God, until you get to the 7th book where you can study and outline a book of the Bible all by yourself and you'll actually know systematic theology. So it takes you through a great deal of information, but it is in an inductive format. That is, it asks a question from a verse of scripture, and then it asks you to look at that verse of scripture and write your answer down. I will expect you each week, not next week, but the week following, to do your work in a chapter or two that I assign you each time. So I expect you to work through that and answer those questions. Also, when you do that, you may have questions yourself. Now, the first book is about salvation. The reason for that is we want people to understand what it means to actually be a Christian. So it covers that really well. So you, if you're already a Christian, you're going to look at that and say, I know all this stuff. Well, I hope you do. You should. But if you don't, it will give you a complete picture of what it means to be saved in a biblical sense. And it gives you all the scriptures that back that up. The reason for that is many times you may start into a relationship with somebody with this book and they're not sure that they're a Christian, or there's some doubt about that for them. And so it covers it really well so that they feel like after they're done with those 4 chapters, they understand. And they can go forward. And most importantly, they can show that to somebody else. They understand it enough to teach it then to them. That's always going to be my goal. When you go through this book, this isn't about you learning that information. It's about what you're going to do when you teach this information to somebody else. Okay? So that's what I will do. I've been doing this set of books since 1972. Some of you aren't even old enough to know when that date was. However, it has proven to be a very useful tool in doing discipleship. It's intentional, it keeps you on track, and it keeps you moving forward, which are important things. Now, one of the other things that I want you to notice is somebody hold up a little card that some of you got. I didn't make enough of those either. That's known as your accountability card. Those are accountability questions. Does anybody know where accountability questions came from? This is a history question. Don't everybody jump up at once. Nope.
Genesis 3.
That's not bad, actually.
That's not right. God said Adam, where are you?
The Methodists. This is from them. So, when the boys came over to America, Wesley boys, they determined that they would put a church in every city that was currently in the United States at that time. And guess what? They did it. They actually did it. You drive through the country and you see a little church out there, you trace the history of that, I guarantee you it was a Methodist church. Now, they were real big on accountability groups, or what you would call small groups. They used those small groups as accountability between believers. And they said, if you want to join this group, you have to be willing to let me ask very pointed questions of you to see whether you're growing and doing the things you should do as a Christian or not. So you had to kind of give permission to them to ask these questions. They actually had about 22 questions that they used all the time in their small group. And what's just a neat side thing, my wife, her granddad on her mom's side was a circuit riding Methodist pastor who went along the Ohio River and planted churches. Natalie's mom was named Grace. That was the name of his horse. He called it Grace. And she was named after the horse that he rode all the time.
Not the other way.
I know, right? Which is just interesting because just him, in his lifetime, he planted 573 churches. Just him. That's how they accomplished it. It was amazing. Had a little portable organ that he had, you know, pump organ he took along to do music. It was crazy. But it takes intentionality is what I want you to understand for this to work. So when you get into a relationship with somebody, you have to commit to them, to meet with them. I like to meet weekly, but you can do it on a different time frame. That's not important. It's whatever works out with that person. You may only get to see them once a month or maybe less often than that. I even have a guy that I have discipled via texting on the phone. We started off together at one point physically and then he moved away. But we still stay in touch even to this day. And it's probably been 26 years now that we've had that relationship. So, it's important that you're very intentional with what you're doing. That is, you will be the person to call them and say, hey, let's get together. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's do chapter one and book one. And we'll talk about that when we get together. And then you just walk through that and ask them questions. Hey, how did you do on question number two? What did you get for that? So it's not difficult. It's easy. It's right there in front of you. It's easy to follow. One of the ways I used it when I started off with this in 1972, I was in college. It was my second year of college. And I had been discipled by a navigator. I moved in and lived with him for a year. And during that time, I would go to the residence hall at the college that I was attending. They were towers. They had 15 floors to them. And I would go in there and I would knock on the door. And basically I said this, knock, knock, knock. They'd come to the door. Hi, I'm Mike Eddy. I'm talking to people about Jesus Christ tonight. You got a few minutes. Either they let me in or they didn't. And I'd move on to the next one. I would meet with some of those guys. I would present the gospel to them. And then when they received the gospel, two or three of them, I started a Bible study downstairs in the common area of the residence hall. And I kept doing that for a year. I ended up discipling 53 different people that first year. I have been doing this kind of thing ever since then. I've never stopped. And I was a pastor of 5 different churches. And now I've worked with 7 different churches in the IPM process since 2016, and I still do it. So my point is, this is something you can do for the rest of your life. It's following God's methodology. Jesus, when he was here, showed us how to do this. And I want you to understand just how important it is. If we are a church, we have to be obeying the Great Commission, which says, go make disciples. If we're not doing that, we're not a church. We're just a bunch of people who are getting together in a building. We have to be doing what God commanded us to do. Okay? So, what I want you to do at this particular point is, at your table, I want you to discuss what you think would be the hardest thing for you to do about getting to know a non-Christian. That's your first question. You're going to get another one after that. What is the hardest thing for you to do about getting to know a non-Christian? You may be young, you may be old, you may be shy, you may not be. What's going to be difficult for you? Okay, discuss those for a few minutes and then we'll get back together.
You don't have the
I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay, I want you to transition to something else now. One of the things that I heard a lot is that sometimes it's hard just to get to know somebody you don't know, right? What if God just kind of drops that person in your lap? Are you willing to do it then? What I have found is that God wants us to start with our families. Are there people in our family that don't know Jesus? you already know them, right? Then you go to your friends. Do you have a friend that doesn't know Jesus? Probably. Do you have a coworker? Probably doesn't know Jesus? Probably. Then you can go, do you have a neighbor that doesn't know Jesus? So you don't have to go very far to find that person. I think God's probably already got them in your sphere of influence already. So look there first. Now, I didn't make very many of those accountability questions, but if you can, spread those out across the room so each table has at least one. Now, I will tell you that this is the list that came from Charles Swindoll. He's responsible for question number 10. So you can blame that on him, and all he would do was laugh if you said that to him. Chuck is a neat guy. He will short sheet your bed and saran wrap your toilet in a heartbeat. Well, you know what that means, you know what kind of guy he is. Okay, so I want you to take the rest of your time, which is about 20, 25 minutes, and I would like you to ask each other those accountability questions. You're going to do that week by week here. I want you to get started on it today. So we don't have a lot of those cards. Once we each have one, then you can turn to the person next to you and do it. But you'll kind of have to work around your table or your circle or whatever you've got today, okay? Any questions? I want you to answer those questions as honestly as you can. And I understand you may not be totally honest about that, but do it the best you can.
Just start with verse 10.
Start with 10, yeah. Have you lied about anything? You know, go back and work through them again. Okay, so yeah, go ahead.
Just something that you have said, I believe, from the pulpit or at some other point when we've been together. You mentioned, you know, to look for opportunities. Many times those
yes.
opportunities come up and it's real easy to, well, I'm too busy right now. But one of the things that you said that really kind of hit me is that we should be praying for those opportunities.
Yes.
And if we're praying for it, it makes us more cognizant of it. For when they happen, that maybe we would be bold.
You bring up a great point, because when you start praying that way, and I will ask you to do that, to pray about that person that God wants you to get next to, and then all of a sudden you meet that person and you go, oh, there it is, right? Because you've been praying about it. So it's real easy to see. That's what I mean by God kind of dropping it in your lap. He loves to interrupt us, you know, interrupt our lives a little bit. He likes doing that. All right, so take the rest of the time and work through that. And if you get through your questions, then pray for each other, okay? All right, go for it.
I like the
so he could spy on you and he did the little check mark to office.
Approve you are decoys. The weather has been
Okay, if you haven't started praying yet, take a few minutes to pray for each other.
I told him that I was going to pray. I'm going to go to the next one.
I know some of you aren't quite done. Thank you for showing up today. Hope to see you next week. At this time, I would like to ask, do you have any questions?
Just number 10.
You know, I've said some bad things to Chuck about that, just so that you know. He and I have had words. He also gave me the greatest piece of advice I ever got. He said, throw your sermons away when you're done with them. That was great advice. Any questions? Remember, I'm teaching you so that you can teach somebody else. Okay? This is about, so I'm going to give you tips along the way to help you to kind of maybe bring across some concepts, because people will have questions when you start doing this with people. And I've been through it a lot, so I can help you with that. So I will always give a chance to ask questions at the end. So if you've got them, that's fine. You can always ask those. And this is about helping you to get stronger. Can you imagine if everybody in this room just went out and discipled one or two people over the next year, what would happen? Yeah. It's going to be something cool. All right, we are done. So thank you for coming, and I will see you next week.
Keep gardening.